What, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, I'm back in the saddle again. Back in the saddle again, home from Boise, Idaho. Man, oh man, oh man. I was telling the guys before I came on the queue here. I thank you guys for bearing with me on last Monday, Friday, and then Monday yesterday. Trying to do that, the program from a cell phone. Can't see anything. My show prep, I can't even see if I show prep. Jared throws stuff up on the screen. I can't even see it. I can't tell if anybody's in here. I catch it. So thanks for bearing with me. And I think I came through pretty good. I think we did okay. I kind of left you hanging yesterday. I went back and watched it. Those are two good videos we put up there yesterday. And, you know, man, the power of video. The power of video is amazing. I saw that again this weekend at the Hear the Watchman conference. Most of you don't know this. You've never been in a room when I made a presentation. I usually just go from the fly off seat of my pants without a whole lot of notes. What do they call that? Chain of consciousness, string of consciousness. That's how I fly. But I was sitting there all this weekend and I was noticing every presentation, every guy was making a presentation. He had some video. Video is so powerful. My goodness, it's so powerful. So I used some videos. We talked about what is the Salt and Light Brigade did, and talk about, you know, the Kim Davis thing. We went down with Kim Davis and Dr. Ken Hovind and getting Ken Hovind out of jail. We talked about the boycott of Target and what impact that had. And then we spoke about the abortion issue, especially down in Louisville, Kentucky. And I had video. I threw video up on the screen, just a 3-minute clip on a video. Just makes everything so real. And you know, the media has known that for a long time. They have so programmed us. Oh my goodness, they have so programmed us. I was watching a little bit yesterday when President Trump was in, where was he, Phoenix? I saw some clips from Don Lemon and from the news. Oh my goodness, their bias is unbelievable. And you know, you can change everything. Well, think about that video of Donald Trump that came out during the primaries, when they caught him talking about the P word and what you can do to women and all that stuff. Think how powerful that video was. And for so long, we haven't had any vehicle to show our videos. We haven't had any vehicle at all. Now we got YouTube and the internet. And we have the ability, but you do know this, don't you? They're clamping down as fast as they can. They're clamping down. They're not gonna let the truth out. And I've been saying for as long as you guys, many of you have been watching this show, not patting myself on the back, I'm just telling the truth. I've been screaming for at least a year that it is an attack on Western civilization and Christianity in particular. That's the attack. Hey guys, come on here. We all know that this is a spiritual war. We know, I'm going to sneeze, I think here, man, I'm sorry. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. We know that. And so ultimately, the attacks on truth, we understand that. Jesus is the truth. Buddha's not the truth. Islam's not the truth. Hinduism isn't the truth. The attacks on truth. Jesus is the truth. So ultimately, everything that we see going on is an attack on Christianity. And the attack on Christianity that we see is the divide and conquer strategy. Divide black Christians from white Christians. We spoke about that a little bit yesterday. The one group that should be totally and completely organized and on the same page should be Christians, and we're not. We're divided, and they are conquering us as a result of it. They're telling black Christians. Oh, Lord, help me say it right. They're teaching black Christians that they're black first and then Christian. They voted for Obama because he was black, not because he was a Christian man. They knew he wasn't a Christian man. Didn't matter. He's black. He's one of us. They divide the church. They divided the church. And if you can't see that the one thing that really ticks them off, and they went back to their old playbook is race, 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 race. It's the old reliable. They know they can get it. But I'm not so sure how far they're going to get with it this time. I really don't know. More and more people are beginning to waken up. But Trump spoke yesterday in Phoenix. I didn't see it. Does anybody out there think, I'm thinking about my own experiences. Those of us who were at the gay pride parade, the homosexual pride parade here in Columbus back in June. Hey, Ray, you were there. You were there. Hey, Ray, do you think the crowd could have got out of control, or would the cops have beat them down before they had the chance? What do you think, Ray?
No, we would have been dead meat unless God intervened. And I got a feeling this is what's coming even worse. What we saw there is just the beginning.
So we were there, and we know had we got out of line, they'd have beat us to pulp, wouldn't they?
Well, look what they did to BLM. They would have done that to us in a heartbeat.
And Ray, they would have probably have done it with orders from on high, wouldn't they? It would have probably been the mayor who would order a clampdown. I would think.
Stand down. Let them at
them. Hey, Chad, are you a cop? You still a cop, Chad?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Chad, where do stand down orders come from?
They come from the top.
Come the top. And so they go down and they tell the guys at the bottom, hey, don't prosecute this. I remember when I first went to my first homo parade in Columbus, and the people were praying down topless. And I went over to the cop and I said, they're not allowed to do that. And he said, sir, we've been ordered not to enforce that. So that's a top down order. That kind of stuff goes on, doesn't it, Chad?
That's correct.
Top down order.
I want to say one more thing. I want to say something else about that, the Trump rally in Phoenix. I watched like 5 minutes of it. Okay. Cause I just, that's how long it took me to get sick. But the announcer on there, they were talking about it, the spacing and how much big the building was. And they said, well, we don't think that he'll be able to feel it. And then one of the ladies, her only comment really was, well, you know, with that kind of crowd, it's going to be hard for people to get to the bathroom. And that was it. I changed the channel. I was like, really? That's all the analysis you got? I mean, you know. Yeah.
Well, that's where they are. By the way, Chad, coming to Temple, Texas. I'm coming this Friday. I'll be there Friday and Saturday. Give some people some details on that real quick. I didn't say that right away, Chad.
Okay. Well, again, we're having a cookout with Coach. He'll be coming down Friday night, so at 7 p.m. until whenever. And that'll give people that haven't really had a chance to mingle with the coach and America's coach and visit with him and, you know, off-the-cuff type conversations. And then Saturday morning, we're going to kick off about 11 a.m. with our fellowship with praying and singing hymns and our message, reading a scripture. I think we're going to do James this week. And so, and then we'll have something to eat in the evening, or finger foods during the day, and then something to eat, a meal in the evening. And then Sunday morning, same thing. Pick it up again, and then folks can stay as long as they want Sunday, or they can
leave. Okay, now, folks, listen to this now, folks. I'm only going to be there till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. Because I have to leave to get back because I have a speaking opportunity at the Shepherd of the Hills Church in Logan, Ohio. I don't know if you guys know where that is. Anybody close? Pastor Dan Crawford invited me to Shepherd of the Hills Church. That's in Rockbridge, actually. It's between Lancaster and Logan down in that way. You can Google it. Shepherd of the Hills Church, 14224 State Route 374 Rockbridge. I don't know where it is. So I have to get back. I'm not plugging my speaking event. I'm just saying I'm only going to be able to be down there for a while. So.
One more thing is that if folks are still planning on coming or whatever, just kind of RSVP so I can know what kind of food I need to roll out on Friday.
Figure out how many cows we got to shoot on Friday to cook them. Is that right, Chad?
And I got to skin them and stuff too. So.
All right, folks. Great opportunity. Okay, listen. Thanks. I want to jump in and want to move forward today because from my standards. I felt bad about the last two shows. I didn't think I did a very good job. I didn't have anybody, not blaming anybody, not criticizing anybody. I didn't really have anybody to hand off to. JR did a good job on Friday, but I really dumped it yesterday. And so I pride myself on trying to bring to you cutting edge information. And I want to start right here today. I don't know how many of you have seen this, that the seven people, the Bundy Ranch, remember those standoffs, right? Back 3 years ago now? 4 years ago, however long it was, Ammon Bundy and his brother, they're still in jail, by the way. Can you believe that? Can you believe they're holding these guys still in jail? And yesterday, there's been a trial going out there against some of those people who they said were illegally. I can't remember what the charges were, but they were doing something against the federal government. No, you don't do anything against the federal government, right? It's not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people anymore. We know from our Ken Hovind, Dr. Dino, Ken Hovind episode down in Pensacola, Florida, that when Ken Hovind won in that courtroom, it was the first time that a citizen won against the federal government in 9 years in that courthouse. Federal courts aren't trials, folks. They are lynching. They're set up. The judge, prosecutors, in most cases, they're always on the same side. What we saw happen in the Bundy trial, we the people rose up. The jury said, no. I'm going to talk today a little bit about some jury nullification and some different things. But is Larry with us today? I didn't even see, because Larry was, he's not with us. He'll be mad. He'd be mad at me that I didn't get him a chance to get in here. Larry's there. Ranchers' Lives Matter. Larry, can you, I don't know if you're near the screen or not, Larry. Can you? Hey, Larry, just give us a real brief, rather than me have to throw a bunch of stuff up, give me a real brief overview of what the heck went on out there in that area. Can you do that, Larry?
Yeah, well, what's happening is, if you remember back a few years ago, the Bundy Ranch came under criticism from the federal government because they weren't paying the federal government any money to allow their cows to graze on state land. And so they were going to kick the Bundys off their ranch. Harry Reid had a lot to do with it because he really coveted
all the mineral rights and all that stuff that were there, yeah. Right?
Right. And anyway, it all boils down to a bunch of patriots from all around the country went out there to stand with the Bundys and to say, no, federal government, you can't do this. The state has already negotiated a deal with the Bundys years and years ago, and the Bundys have kept their side of the deal. They've been paying the state for grazing rights.
Folks, 85% of the state of Nevada is federal land. 85% federal land.
Well, they claim it's federal land, but see, the Constitution requires that the United States purchase any land from the state that they're going to use, and it limits the uses for which the federal government can use purchased land. I doubt very much if anybody can come up with a bill of sale from the state of Nevada to the federal government over that land.
So there's some nefarious things going out there in relationship to the government, Harry Reid, mineral rights, Canada, Russia, Hillary. Something really stinks in Nevada, right? And then we know what happened in Oregon with Lavoie Finicum, when the same thing, they tried to pull the same thing up in Oregon, and it cost Lavoie Finicum his life, by the way. And they've now charged a federal agent with I don't know if it's murder, but they charged him with killing Lavoie Finicum. Folks, listen, I'm sorry, Larry, I didn't mean to step all over you there, but I just got a lot of stuff I want to try to lay out here while I can. Folks, listen, Jared, pull up that first thing, Bureau of Land Management. I think that's the first thing I got there. No, wait a minute. I sent you the one all by itself, Jared. I just did throw that thing up there. BLM. Jared will click on that for us, folks. I don't know if you know this. The Bureau of Land Management is not a government agency, okay? Look at this. The BLM is actually a sub-corporation of the United States. It's like the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve's not owned by the government. BLM is actually a sub-corporation of the United States Incorporated, a private foreign-owned offshore corporation. Wow. Since it was incorporated in 1925, copyrighted, trademarked, and registered in Puerto Rico under the Reorganization Act of Washington. I got some stuff popping up on my screen. See if I can move this out of the way. Pardon. I don't know. There we go. That didn't help. Anyway. By an act of Columbia, by its own private business charter, neither BLM nor any other federal corporation has lawful legal authority, jurisdiction, or interstate nexus within the 50-state geographical landmass. You understand what I just said? The BLM has no legal right. None. The Bureau of Land Management has no legal jurisdiction, period. The BLM is actually classified as an agent of foreign principle under the Intergovernmental Personnel Act. Hey, folks, Google all this. Just Google it. In other words, they don't represent the Constitutional Republic or the interests of the American people, but rather a foreign-owned principal, the International Banking Military Corporation Cartel of London City, England, known as the Crown Corporation, as their supreme authority. This has been openly admitted and exposed through Supreme Court cases since and even before 1938. So once again, the Bureau of Land Management is not a federal American government organization. All right? Yeah, are you folks seeing this? The Federal Reserve is not a federal U.S. government agency. It is a separate private organization. So we tell people, well, we got to follow the Constitution. Well, see, these guys are outside constitutional authority. They're outside of it. So it doesn't apply to them. So we know what went on in the Bundy Ranch and all that. I don't want to bog you down, but I want you to leave here this morning knowing exactly what it is we're talking about. So Jared, let's go back to that stuff. And let me see, what do I want to do? Here's what happened yesterday. Jared, it says Bundy trial. This is about a real quick five minute video. These seven people were found not guilty yesterday in federal court by a jury of their peers, okay? Now, it's not over. I'm going to tie all this together, folks. Please bear with me. I'm going to tie everything together for you when you're all done. I promise. Let's watch. It's about a five-minute clip. Let's watch this.
So what we're going to be doing here, Patty, if we can just pan over here, we're going to be talking exactly a little bit more about what we had here. That was Ammon Bundy's attorney. As you heard, Stephen, Deb, he was taken down by U.S. Marshals and arrested, charged with resisting arrest. All of this happening. Now, we have had just kind of a chaotic scene here outside the courthouse in downtown Portland as that not guilty verdict was set. As you heard, the lawyer for Ammon Bundy tackled to the ground by U.S. Marshals, a table knocked over as a result of all of that. The courthouse then cleared out, people spewing on to Southwest 4th Avenue outside the federal courthouse here in downtown Portland, screaming in absolute euphoria and joy, talking about how not guilty was the verdict for all seven of the defendants. Ammon Bundy and his brother not allowed out. The other five coming out and expressing
their
just overall enthusiasm and euphoria for being able to be out. And here, what I'm going to do is show you some sound bites. So we have some interviews that we have with some attorneys as well as supporters of this so-called liberty movement, people over
liberty movement as opposed to prisoner movement.
Extraordinary. Absolute folly. Nature.
Give me faith that if you fight like there's
Bundy tweeting, though, still being notorious in Nevada.
Spoke to Shauna about it. She thinks
right. You have to say yes and no. We had a peaceful comfortable that we were innocent. There was a few moments that we had a feeling just because the rule the judge had set, the guidelines for the jury instructions that would make us a little bit praying, had the whole nation praying that they would
to verdict. Stood up. When what were you feeling?
I knew we were all not guilty. I knew that. I was really worried about because I know that this court's to hold him and Ryan, innocent man, and they've just tortured them. And I am so grateful that that we have a jury system that would set them free and see the truth and acquitted them rightfully.
That's defendant Shauna Cox talking to our Chris Lightoldon there.
Jared. We can also. It goes well on. There's a little bit more to it. I'm going to ask you a question. Can I just ask you a very, very simple question? You really believe that the Bundy boys, these seven people, you really believe they're a threat to America? Are they the threat to America? Really? Not Barack Obama and his gang, his thugs. They're not a threat to America. Hillary and the crap she's pulled, she's not a threat to America. The Federal Reserve, they're not a threat to America. But some couple farmers and people that support them, they're the threat to America. And the lengths the federal government would go to prosecute these guys who are simply fighting for what was rightfully theirs and their way of life. You know what's even more amazing? America is full of Christians, dare I say it. America is full of Christians who think they're guilty, think they should not be resisting the federal government. That's where we are here in America, see? And guys, here's the bow I'm going to try to put on this at the end of the show so that you know. I'm going to give you a chance to jump in here in a minute, just so that you know. I'm going to tell you, there's a revolution coming. It's coming. Now, they're doing it on purpose. The black against the white, all that. So, how you notice now it's not Russia anymore, not Russia, 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 Russia. None of that anymore. All the focus is now Trump's a racist, his followers are racist, people are out in the street tearing down statues, painting statues, wearing masks. Revolution is coming to Americans. Hey, Christians, you're going to have to ask yourself, are you going to get involved? Or are the Christians going to be spectators? Because I have been saying for at least the last 10 years that the pushback that is coming in America is not coming from Christians, not from the pulpit, not from those who represent truth, justice in the American way, not from righteous Christians. The pushback in America is coming from the NASCAR crowd. That's what I would call them, the NASCAR crowd. Those good old boys, they ain't going to take it anymore. Folks, they're not going to take it anymore. Now, here's my concern with it. Right-wing watch and all of them who try to throw violence and say we're for violence. I'm telling you, violence is coming. And it's coming from these guys who are not restrained by the Holy Spirit of God. See, the scripture says that they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Do you know this? Do you know how many marginal Christians there are in America? People who call themselves Christians, who are Chinos, Christians in name only, but they have Christian values. They've been trained and raised in Christian values. They're not Christians by any stretch of the imagination. That's the powder keg. That's the powder keg that's getting ready to explode. And I want to tell you this, they're doing everything they can to light the powder keg. The government wants it. They want this civil war because the civil war or whatever we would call it, then gives them the opportunity, the government, the deep state, whatever you want to call that group, they now have the ability to come in and smash it. That things are going to get so violent that people, Christians, are going to beg the government to please come and protect them. That's where this whole thing's happening. If you miss the larger picture, you're going to miss the whole thing. It ain't black and white. It isn't about any of that stuff. It's about the divide and conquer of those who carry the name of Christ or profess to and the rest of it. So now they've divided black Christians from white Christians, going to tear down statues, getting us all huffed up all about all this stuff that really doesn't have anything to do with anything because we're so easily manipulated. Time out, coach. Give somebody else a chance. Jump in here.
Coach, here we go, brother. First of all, Chinos, that was absolutely inspired. I think people would actually call me a Nino, a black man in name only. But I want to tell you that is absolutely the opposite. I'm a real man living a real life, and all those other people towing the line, those are the stepping fetches, and those are the Sambos destroying America, helping to destroy America.
But Vince, you would agree with me that there are so many of those black people out there who are trying to tear down the statues and do all that stuff. Some of them would probably consider themselves Christians, wouldn't they, Vince?
Well, they might consider themselves Christians, but they aren't.
Consider themselves that, right? They would think it would be righteous that they're fighting for their race. They think that somehow that would be righteous.
Hey, Coach, what's more disturbing than the fact that they would consider themselves to be Christian? A huge majority of the United States general public would consider them to be Christian because they've been trained to think that anything that goes into a building on the corner with a churchy name in front of it is full of Christians.
Well, not only that, Larry, you don't even have to go to church to say you're a Christian. I know a guy, I'm not kidding you. I know a guy. He told me, he says, listen, I got a great relationship with the Lord. He said, now I don't go into the church and I'm not much on that Bible, but boy, till I walk out in the wilderness and I'm out there hunting deer, oh boy, I'm close to the Lord then. See, that's the way people think. That's the way they think. And this guy's about as far as from Christian as you could possibly be. So there's great deception. And I'm telling you, the pushback, I ought to pull up my Pastor James David Manning clip. Maybe I get that ready for tomorrow. I can't find it now, Jared. Well, he's been warning for about 6 years that the white guy's not going to take it. Pastor Manning's been saying that. And see, we call them crackers, we call them deplorables, we call them all kinds of names. I'm here to tell you, the NASCAR crowd, they ain't going to take it much longer. Go ahead, Roger.
Manning in Brooklyn has a week. Did you get a chance to look into those?
Stop. You broke up. Start again. You broke up.
King had some comments over the weekend, and people were claiming he was backpedaling on some issues. I wouldn't mind just looking into that a little bit. I don't know what happened, but something did.
You talking about Trump?
Well, about Manning.
Oh, Manning. Manning's not backtracking. He just doesn't like Trump. He doesn't like Trump because Trump supports homosexuals. So he calls him Tribulation Trump. Because Pastor Manning believes Trump's his judgment on America. See, there's a lot of different perspectives, a lot of different ways you can look at it. And Pastor Manning was very much for Donald Trump until Trump came out and started messing and giving rights to the homos and all that stuff. And Pastor Manning said, as a guy, Christian man, I can't support that. And so I support Pastor Manning and what he's saying, except it's Trump or Hillary. It was Trump or Hillary. And now in the mess that we find ourselves in, what are we going to do? And I think, from my standpoint, the thing that we should not be doing is opposing President Trump at this point. That's my take on it. And I haven't spoken to Pastor Manning about that. I still consider him a friend, but he is very, very, very anti-Donald Trump for sure. And it doesn't have anything to do with color. He says we're all being deceived and, you know, tend to make some sense to him. Jared, anybody else jump in real quick? Oh, man, we're flying here today. Doggone. So it's not black and it's not white. Okay, it's not. It isn't. Let's get rid of this thing over here. Jared, here's why I want to show this to people, because I think, do you remember the Bundy standoff? I think this is important. Stay with me, okay? We forget what happened. I want to make two points, and I want to show you a quick little video here. Well, yeah, that's not what I wanted, Jared. That's good, because Larry just kind of explained to us what was going on. I'm so far down through it, I don't have a chance to do it. It says standoff. Yeah, right there. Hold that right there a second, Jared. Standoff. I had a couple of friends who were at, this goes back, what, 3 years, 4 years maybe? Had a couple of friends who were at the Bundy Ranch when this whole thing took place, the BLM. Harry Reid was behind it, trying to force these farmers off their own land because Harry had already made a deal for the uranium with the Chinese or whoever. And I had some guys who were on the front line at this Bundy standoff where literally the American people stood down the BLM. They stood them down. And the guys that were there told me there was only one reason that they were able to stand down the federal government. Don't miss this. Number one, guns. They had guns. The ability to defend themselves and the ability to shoot back. The ranchers did. The Patriots did. And number two, they had cell phones. And cell phones was immediate. Guys would film things, boom, and shoot it up on Facebook. And the government could not control the narrative of what was going on at the Bundy Ranch. And that was the only reason. It was the Constitution working, this First Amendment, freedom of speech, the alternative media, freedom of speech, hand in hand with the Second Amendment. Think about this. Second Amendment says a well-regulated militia, time out, citizen militia, a well-regulated militia, citizen militia is what they were talking about. Remember the times in which they were in. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. A well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of a free state. Let that sink in a minute. This is the Second Amendment. A well-regulated citizen army being necessary for the security of a free state. What the founder said, the rights of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So these guys show up with their guns and with their media, cell phone, and force the BLM to back down, the government to back down. This is about a 6-minute clip, but I think it's important for us to watch this. This is the closing moment. Ammon Bundy at the gate with the BLM agent, I believe, and watch what happens. And we forget this. So this is the trial was a result of this. The trial that these people were declared not guilty of yesterday was a result of what we see right here. Go ahead and play it, Jared. There's a cell phone.
Hey, crowd is now moving forward toward the barrier. The police have been telling everybody they are going to shoot if we don't move back. People are moving forward with their hands in the air.
Sharon,
hold
that a second.
Holding flags or both hands.
My friends who were at the scene told me this. Had it not been for the Second Amendment, the cell phone videos, they would have shot and killed many of them and then controlled the narrative. Then they would have said, oh, yeah, well, they were charging us and they attacked and they fired a shot. We had no recourse except to defend ourselves. That's what that would have been what the BLM said, see. But we have this video and we see that it's not true. So these guys are walking peacefully up to the line and let's see what happens.
Hands in the air, it's a mixture of people on foot, as you can see, people on foot and cowboys.
With Metro, all right, push these people back up off the gate. Push them back up off the gate. We're going to work to release these cattle. Listen to me. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to work with you, but I need you to back them up.
I understand what you're doing, and you will get that time.
That's all right.
We're not playing this.
I know. I get that. But can we push them back up off the gate for right now?
Trying to get Bundy to go with him. He won't do it. He's smart.
No, that's it. It's the people or not. And you guys need to leave.
Okay.
You need to leave. That's the
turn. I'm telling you, you need to de-escalate the situation. I'm imploring upon you responsibility.
Back to Washington, go back to China.
Yeah, don't turn your back on us, you big boys with those big guns, aren't you? Oh, you're so tough, you're so brave. Look at that. What a bunch of bullies.
So the cattle going back on their land. Hey, Jared, you can pause that. So, guys, ask yourself this question. You look at that. Which one of those groups is the bigger threat? Your neighbor riding on a horseback protecting his land against a rogue government agency? Or, as somebody said, that one guy looked like a mercenary up there at the fence trying to get Ammon Bundy to go off by himself. Imagine how that would have worked out, and Ammon wouldn't do it. Come on and negotiate with us, right? And think of everything that's going on in America Hey guys, come on now. Who's the enemy? What was it? What was the Bundy trial really about yesterday? What was it really about? Well, you just saw what it was about. Nobody defies the federal government. They don't like being poked in the eye. See, they don't like being poked in the eye. So I'm gonna make another connection to you. I look far and wide to try to find a better video than this. But it's, so Jared, pull the one up there. It says Lou Dobbs. It's down next to last. Lou Dobbs. You guys remember this? Do you remember? Come on, stay with me here. Remember when President Obama said we needed a strong civilian force? Remember that? Was there any possibility that President Obama, in his devious, mischievous, antichrist ways, was doing everything he could do to arm a civilian communist movement in America?
Hey, Coach, can I jump in for just 1 minute, 1 second?
Sure, Bobby. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yeah, I want to get this out before I have to leave. Listen, I'm just commenting here on a video, on an Al Jazeera video, Phoenix police fire tear gas at anti-Trump. You know, and I've become real good at attacking these low-functioning people online here. So I just want to real quick read what I wrote. You low-functioning liberal fascist mental disorder patients can't comprehend what a civil war will look like with the patriots you are trying so hard to piss off. The veterans, the millions of gun owners, the millions of people that have been training to fight and hunt all of our lives, the NASCAR crowd, the veterans that love to fight and destroy the enemy, the low-functioning mental disorder Antifa college kids will not get to fight us tonight and go to college class in the morning. Wrap your heads around that.
That's exactly what I said, brother. And listen, see, folks, I'm not trying to stir anybody up. I'm just telling you, you're going to have to pick a side at some point. They are doing this on purpose. And if you think that this isn't going to escalate into something beyond what we can ever imagine, and you're not going to be able to win over those Antifa people by taking them a bottle of water and telling them how much Jesus loves them. Don't you understand what's going on around us? How we're being conditioned? Don't you understand that President Obama, I'm going to play the clip right here. This clip with Lou Dobbs is from 2008. This is from 2008 when President Obama says we need a civilian force. Dobbs says, what the heck's that? What do you mean we need a civilian? Hey, folks, well-regulated militia. We used to have a civilian force. Now, who's more of a civilian militia, the Bundy boys or Antifa? The ones we're seeing in the street, because you better realize there is a militia out there. But there's a militia out there for sure, but they're not on the side of righteousness. I can tell you that. Coming to our door. Yeah, right. Yes, go. Hey, yeah.
Jump in for the video.
What's
there's
that?
A real danger. Can you hear me?
Yes.
There's a real danger in this jury issue right now, in my opinion. We are very excited and happy for the whole crowd out there that the jury found them not guilty. I'm happy for that. But we're going to reach a point where you won't be able to convict anybody of anything because the jury selection process will be impossible to screen out people so that you can get a fair trial. So I'm very happy for what took place out there, but as a lawyer, when I'm picking a jury, I'm trying to get unbiased people. I'm trying to get people who are able to make a decision that is not based on politics or race or culture. And so when the jury process falls apart, it's even going to get worse because you're not going to be able to convict the bad guys.
Yeah, but Roger, we have to be careful because in this case, the jury process worked. The good guys won. I understand what you're saying. I see where this – Roger, it's already like that anyway. The government wins all the time now. But you're right, man. There's no honor.
On a criminal case, you just need to move one person of those 12.
Right.
With the way our culture is now, first of all of us who are trying to be patriots or growing as patriots, if we're ever arrested, we should always go to trial. Because you're going to always be able to turn one person towards patriotism.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Folks, listen. Hang on a second, Larry. Folks, listen. This is important. Patriotism doesn't mean always obeying the government. You understand that? Sometimes being a patriot means opposing the government. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, what Roger is alluding to is it began, in my opinion, with the O.J. Simpson trial.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna have Roger is concerned that we will end up with O.J. Simpson justice,
right.
Because jury taking control and going their own direction can work both ways.
Let me give you a real an insight. I had the O.J. Simpson case. I heard this from somebody who was very, very familiar with the lawyers. This shows you how the system works. If you guys remember, it goes back a while. O.J. had an all-black jury. And one of the things that they had to do is they took the jury to O.J.'s house to tour his house. Well, before they took the jury into O.J. Simpson's house, Johnny Cochran and those guys, they're good lawyers, man. They're smart guys. They walked into O.J. Simpson's house themselves and looked at everything else to see where the jury was going to go. And they noticed that all over O.J.'s walls were pictures of O.J. with famous white people. Think about O.J. Simpson. He swam in white waters for the most part, right? The pictures of him up with this president, with this guy, bunch of white people on the wall with O.J. Simpson. And you know what they did? Before they brought the jury in, they changed the entire setup of the house and put O.J. with other black people. Pulled down all the white faces and put O.J. up with all the black faces, and then took a black jury through, because the last thing they wanted to see was O.J. in there with a whole bunch of white people, because it would not have sent the right message. So see, in a way, that's jury tampering, isn't it? That's the kind of stuff Roger's talking about. That's why our courts have reached a point where we just don't know if you're going to get any justice out of it anymore. I want to show you. Yes.
One more thing on the whole legal thing. I'll just give input here. What you are finding in the courtroom now, and I've got to be a little careful because as an officer of the court, I can get in trouble.
Good.
But what you are seeing now is a command environment from the bench. And what I mean by that is, if you don't have a lawyer that's a little bit strong and willing to fight back against the bench, you're in trouble, because it is a command performance of, this is my home, you're on my turf, and this is the way it is. And you better hire somebody that is willing to stand up and say, Your Honor, we got to talk about this on the record. Because when you go into the courtroom now, it's not an aw shucks thing. Those judges, at least ones I'm running into, they are controlling everything.
Amen. Amen. That's right. We've elevated judiciary above the power that should have. Let's go real quickly. I don't think we'll watch this whole segment. This is from 2008, Lou Dobbs with Judge Jeanine Pirro. And you're going to hear the clip of Obama saying, we need this other military. And guys, they got it. Soros has paid for it. And hey, stay with me. You remember back about 5 or 6 years when you couldn't get any ammunition? No ammo was available. Why wasn't the ammo available? Because the BLM was buying it all, and the Department of Justice, they were buying up all the ammo so that you and I wouldn't be able to get it. Huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, baby. So here it is, 2008. Think, hey, before you go to bed tonight, you hit your knees, you thank God Hillary Clinton didn't get reelected. You just thank God.
Yeah. The protesters and the Black Lives Matter and all that, that's not Obama's other army. Obama's other army is embedded in every federal agency. There
yes,
are
sir.
More federal agents under arms than there are military members under arms. And
there you go.
The deep state bureaucracy, people loyal to the Obama ideas, that army, larger than our military, is under the control of Obama, still right out of Washington, D.C., just a few blocks away from the White House.
And they're coming face to face with a Dale Earnhardt crowd. Don't think they're not, folks. This is where this thing's heading. Go ahead and play this, Lou Dobbs and Obama talking about civilian army.
You know, this is a story that we have been researching and following as the blogs have picked up on it. And developments continue. The Department of Homeland Security buying ammunition, now looking to purchase another 21 million rounds of ammunition. This in addition, of course, to the 1.6 billion rounds that Homeland Security has bought in just the past 10 months. Now, to put all of this in perspective, The military used approximately 70 million rounds each year of the Iraq war. 70 million rounds in a war. Back in July of 2008, you might recall, and this is part of the reason the blogs are picking up on this, presidential candidate, the senator, then Senator Barack Obama, proposed a civilian national security force. This is what he said.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
Okay, time out a second.
Have that, right?
Jared, time out a second. See, words mean things, right? He said to support the military objectives we've set. And who's we? Who's we? Got a mouse in his pocket? Who's he talking about? Because see, when we heard him say that we've set, we're thinking American government. No. We ain't us. It's a big club and we ain't in it, right? As George Carlin said. Go ahead, Jared.
We're not aware of the president having created such a force. At least it's not, maybe it's covert. I don't know. But we can't help but wonder why the Department of Homeland Security should need more than 20 times as much ammunition as it took to fight the Iraq war. Our next guest says, by the way, is
okay, we can stop right there, Jared. It's a good clip and we could play on through, but you get response, guys. Anybody?
Well, they can have all the ammo they want. These idiots can't shoot, so there's nothing to worry about.
See, they were trying. They were collecting the ammo to keep it away from everybody else. That's really what was going on. See?
Right.
Really.
Oh, that too, and the fact that I just mentioned that virtually every federal agency has an armed branch now. And those of us, you were in D.C. You led the thing. We were in D.C. times, and everywhere you turn is somebody in a uniform with a submachine gun, with a semi-automatic rifle. Some of them may have automatic capability, probably do. But I mean, it was worse than Moscow used to be back in the 60s and 70s.
So guys, here's where I am, guys and girls. Here's where I am. I'm trying to ask you this. You better get ready. You better get ready. Which side are you on? And all you peaceful, non-violent Christians, which side are you on? Because NASCAR crowd ain't gonna take. Does anybody think I'm making this up? Does anybody think so? Do you think we saw one down in Charlottesville? Do you think that the next time they have one of these events, these good old boys aren't going to, maybe not with guns, but they're not going to go do some war, right? Huh? And then the government can come in and clamp down and say, oh, Trump, look what Trump's done. He's riled up that right wing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we got to, now we're going to come for your guns. Guys, come on here. Come on here.
Don't mess with bikers for Trump either.
No, John. But we know this, don't we? Huh? We know this. Donald Trump won an election fair and square, and probably if there hadn't been so much cheating, he would have won by even a larger amount. And the American people are in support of President Trump, no matter how much the media and the deep state try to undermine him. That's what's going on. He's an elected president, and we are seeing open sedition against the American government, and they got the Bundy boys in jail. Why? Because the Bundy boys are fighting the same forces that Trump's fighting, the way I see it.
Amen.
Now I'm gonna muddy the. I got a couple good comments there. Robert said, "Are we going to get on our knees and let Satan's children do evil to us?" Chad said, "The jury is potentially controlled by emotion. No kidding." And Josh says, "I think the eclipse was a terrible foreshadowing of a darkness that's beginning to sweep across America." Man, oh man, that's some good observations there. But I'm going to muddy the water for you, okay? Because I've been saying it. I don't want to say I'm right. I found this. It's absolutely obscure. This is an obscure video. It has like 120 hits.
Well,
120 views. And you tell me, I'm not even going to comment. You watch this and you tell me if this video is wrong. It's the very last one, Jared. It says white masculinity. Hang on. Here they come. Right Ring Watch can't wait to start calling me a racist, because you understand that's the only card they have. Russia didn't work. None of that worked. WikiLeaks didn't work. Now, white, black, black, black. That's all they got. That's all they got. And they're going to play that card as hard as they can. This video has had, I don't know, not very many. I don't even know, 108 views. Only 108 views. But you tell me if this guy's wrong.
Why don't white people form posses and administer vigilante justice on invader communities that have infiltrated and despoiled their white nations? The answer rests on two fundamental pillars of social organization in the late-stage white nation. One, whites of Northwest European extraction have been overbred by evolutionary forces into passive, placid house pets who wouldn't survive a day without a paternalistic owner to provide their comforts, and for whom every stranger, no matter how threatening, is a friend deserving tail wags and hand licks. Two, the global homo captured leaders and representatives of white nations won't defend whites from rapacious foreign and domestic enemies, and worse, actively punish organic local defenses that nationalistic, self-preserving whites may coordinate in their defense. Pillar number two is overlooked by those disposed to biocultural explanations for civilizational decline. Corn and porn can account for a lot of white passivity in the face of existential demographic threat, but an equally pernicious factor is the collusion of the white ruling class with the global homoists pushing a one-world, race-slurry dystopia that benefits no one but oligarchs in their fortified bunkers, deepening their ties with the deep state. The white man's worst enemy are his democratically elected leaders, who sold their souls to the globalist agenda and now control the full might of the state, to crush any local resistance to the forced construction of a mass market bazaar society greased by enormous waves of third world immigration. White men don't form posses because they're enervated, and because they know by now that those leaders in whom they have placed their trust and stewardship would crush absolutely any show of lethal defiance to their state-sanctioned dispossession. It is called posse interruptus, and it isn't so much evidence of the impotence of masculinity as our girl world evangelists would have you believe, as it is the growing reality dawning on so many white men that their nations have been occupied by enemies within whose first and last order of business is enforcing the restraining order against white masculinity. You can tell a lot about which rebellious faction an entrenched, decadent enemy fears most by how it apportions its energies and considerable resources. The globalist elite shrug off routine Muslim terrorist attacks and non-white dysfunction while hammering into submission with every weapon they have on hand, short of hot lead, any insurgency by white men against the global homo status quo that aims to turn white homelands into Blade Runner-esque nightmare visions. Contra the agitprop of globalist emasculates, the most potent force in the world isn't diversity. It's white men evicted from their own homes, awakened to the traitorous boot on their necks, and hungry for vengeance.
Wow! Wow. Comments on that thing?
It's right to the point, brother. That's it.
I'm sure it's got more than 100 views. That's amazing.
See, he's speaking the obvious, right? Folks, hey folks, what happened to any people that gets repressed, oppressed? What happens? Eventually a pushback comes. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. And can you notice the force that the BLM used against the Bundys and how little they're doing against Antifa, BLM? It's right before us. Right before us, we can't see it. Can't see it. So here's I guess if there's a what time is it? Yeah, I thought that's close. If there's a ramp up here, we're being forced into a corner. Christian church is being forced into a corner. And if the Christian church would rise up now, the results could be peaceful. be peaceful. The Christian church won't rise up. They won't rise up. They withdraw and they hide and pray for the rapture. And I don't know what they think. You know, I watched a video yesterday, this morning. I was going to, that made me barf because a lot of people thought it was a good video. And I didn't think it was a good video of a pastor, white pastor, wiping, washing the feet of one of his black congregants, talking about apologizing for how much his people, our people, his people have had oppressed. Hey, help me out here. How long ago was the Civil Rights Act? That was 1964. How long ago is that? Does anybody know?
1964.
Let me do some math here. 64, 40, 50. Almost 60 years. In 1964, let's see, 1964 is 12. I'm 52 years ago. 52 years. How many generations is that? Two?
At least
maybe three? Maybe three?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. And I'm still responsible for all that? I'm still responsible for it?
You were never responsible in the first place.
Well, we did, you know. No, you're right, Vince, we weren't. But, folks, you see what's going on? So now is a critical time in America. If the church rises up, we have a chance to avoid a lot of this stuff. But there is no doubt in my mind that those dark evil forces are pushing the conflict. And isn't it something? You don't see old George Soros out there wearing a mask, do you? No. He hires somebody else to go do his dirty work. That's always the way it is. And General Smedley Butler said, war is a racket. A lot of people get rich off of war and off of a disunion and disharmony and racism. A lot of people making a lot of money off of that. I'm here to tell you this morning, boys and girls, they are forcing it, forcing it down our throat.
Hey, coach.
It's
kind of like the Elijah moment on Mount Carmel when all the people of Israel, you know, and they said, whom you're going to serve? Whose side are you going to be on? Mm-hmm. Right? And so the people didn't know. They didn't know how to answer that question. You know, let whom then Elijah had to say, okay, whatever God answers by fire, let him be God. Now,
amen.
The other side of it is we're calling the church, right? We want the church to come out of what? The cave, right? What did Elijah said, I'm the only person here. And God said, no, I got 6,000-7,000 haven't bent their knee. But where were they? They were in caves.
Mm. They were in caves, brother. They're in caves. And you know what, Pastor Dale? I don't know. You really think you're going to be able to remain neutral? You really believe with what's coming down, you're going to be able to be neutral, be the peacemaker, peacekeeper? You really think that? You really believe that? That Christians and churches are going to remain neutral rather than be the ones on the front line leading the cry for liberty for all? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where Christ is, there's liberty. And we have the answer to America's problems. And we're hiding inside our stained glass fortresses. Choose you this day whom you will serve. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.